So we're holding on Peches Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom.
Kufches Amud Beis, five lines
Peche,
from the bottom.
Peche, not Kufches, Peches. Peches Amud Beis, five lines from, yeah, from the bottom, yeah. Okay, we discussed in the Mishnah various cases where there's a mix-up of what kind of animal we're supposed to be for a person's Korban Pesach. We mentioned a case where we had a case where we brought up Braisa about a case where you have five groups or however many groups where the skins of the Korban Pesach got mixed up, and afterwards we discover that one of the skins has a wart on it, which means that the animal that skin belonged to had a mum. So that means those people brought an animal which was posel for a Korban Pesach and they weren't yotze. But we said all of them are posel, of course, because all of them, none of them can eat their carbon, because each one is a suffix, whether it's a kosher or carbon or not. But the key thing which we're going to focus on now and discuss is that we said that all of them are potter from Pesach Sheni. So that's what we have to figure out. Omamar, Turin Melasis Pesach Sheni. All five groups were saying are potter from making Pesach Sheni. So the question is why? The fact is you have one group that weren't yotze. They weren't yotze because their animal was the one that had the mum. Fine, we don't know, but why should we say that all of them are potter from making a Pesach Sheni? The answer is Mishum Delay Efsha, because there's no way to make it work. Because let's go through the possibilities. Heichi Levid, what should we do? Leisi Kochad V'chad Pesach, should each of those groups bring a Pesach Sheni? Can't. Four out of the five of them did, in fact, bring a Pesach Rishon. Therefore, Kamaisi Cholin La'azara. So it comes out that they're bringing Cholin into the Azara, because if you can't bring a Korban Pesach voluntarily, obviously. It's either you're chayiv in it or not. So then it comes out that four out of the five groups are bringing Cholin into the Azara, and you can't do that. Because after all, four of the groups made the Korban Pesach. Laisi kulu chad Pesach. Should we say that all of them jointly should bring one Pesach Sheni together, and that way the ones who didn't bring the first Pesach will be included? The problem is nimsa Pesach shnechol shaloy lemenuyav. The problem is then it comes out that some people who are not registered for the Korban Pesach are eating from it, because after all, you have those who were already yotze can't be registered for a Pesach Sheni because they were already yotze with the first one. But everybody is, all of them are going to be eating from it. So therefore, and you can't have that because the Pesach can only be eaten by those who are registered. Now, yeah, we talked about at the beginning of the Perek, actually, you have a machlokas rishonim on the question, if a person is not registered for the Korban Pesach and eats from it, what happens? Yesh omrim that he's actually over on a lav, and in that case, then the answer of the Gemara here is very straightforward. Yesh omrim, that's not so much that he's over on a lav, he's just not yotze the mitzvah of Korban Pesach with it, but even so, you do have, we learned previously that the Korban Pesach has to be shechted la'oichlov for those who are going to be able to eat from it, and la'menuyov for those who are going to be registered for it, and here you don't, because some of these groups are not able to be registered for it since they're potter because they already brought the first Pesach. So therefore it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, "Hi, my, what kind of a question is that? You still have a way around it. Naisi kochad minayo pischoi. Each of these five groups should be bringing an animal for Pesach Sheni. V'nisni v'nema, and each group should make a tenai v'nema and say like this: EDD balmum. If the one that I brought the first time around was the balmum, hi da icy hashda nehavi Pesach, then the one that I'm bringing now will be my Korban Pesach for Pesach Sheni. The EDD tam, and if the one I originally brought was a tam, hi da icy hashda nehavi shlom. Then the one I'm bringing now on Pesach Sheni will be a shlomim. What's the problem? The answer is the Gemara says loy efshir. You can't do that. Mishum de'ikah chaz of a shoik. Because after all, you have with a shlomim, the chaz of a shoik have to be given to a kohen. The kohenim who da'achli lay. It's the kohenim that are supposed to eat it. So now what happens is so four out of these five groups, what they're actually bringing is a shlomim, but each one thinks they might be bringing a korban pesach, and therefore it ends up then that you're going to have a kohen. Who are you going to give the chaz of a shoik to? The kohen is not going to be a member of their group. So what do you do? So the question is, why not? Vilnesi kochad v'chad koyin bade. Nu, include a koyin in your group. So what's the problem? And then that way, one way or the other, the chaz of a shoik is being eaten by a koyin, either because it's a Pesach and he's a member of the group, or because it's a chaz of a shoik and it's from a shlomim and the koyin is allowed to eat it, is supposed to be eating it. However, the Gemara says, "Hai koyin hechidami." Okay, let's say you're going to do that. So each group is going to go and find a koyin and have him join their group. But what's the story with that koyin himself? He himself had a mitzvah of Pesach Rishon. Id Ovid Pesach. If he himself did make Pesach Rishon, then no good. Domahai Pesachu. Now it happens that you're bringing. One of these groups is bringing an animal as a Pesach. Benimta Pesach Necho Shalolim Nuyev. Again, you're back to the problem that you're giving some of the Koyan Pesach to eat to somebody who's not registered for it. Because again, this Koyan having been Yotze the first time, having been Yotze Pesach Rishon, he can't be registered for Pesach Sheni because he's not Chayev in it. The E Deloy Ovid Pesach and. If he hadn't made Pesach Rishon, well, he himself has a mitzvah of Pesach Shein. Duma Shlomim Hu. Then what if he ends up eating from the one that's a Shlomim? V'loy Ovid Pesach, and then it comes out he hasn't made a Pesach at all. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to make a Kohen himself stuck. Okay. The question though is still the Nasi Ko Chamisha Chad Kohen Deloy Ovid Pesach. So fine. The way around that would be let's have that. All five groups jointly should get one Kohen who did not make Pesach Rishon, the Nimni Ilavei, and then they'll register him, and that way, the Nimni Ilavei Hani Chamisha Psachim, and have him register for all five of these groups for the Kohen Pesach, and then it should seem it would work. Now, no matter how you slice it, there is one of these groups that did not make a Korban Pesach, the Karnafki Bay. So now it's good. Now we seem to have covered all our bases. He'll eat the chaz of a shoik of each one of the he'll eat the chaz of a shoik of each one of the five korbanos. So four of them he'll be eating as shlomim. One of them he'll be eating as his portion of the korban pesach. So good, we seem to have covered all our bases. Why don't we do that? Why are we saying that all five groups are potter from making pesach sheni rather than telling them to go look for such a koyin, etc.? So the Gemara says you're right. If it was just a problem of the chaz of a shoik, we could make it work. But the problem is, the problem is that you're reducing, if some of them are bringing an animal, if some of them are bringing a korban, which might be for a Pesach and might be for a shlomim, then what happens is you're reducing the amount of time that shlomim can be eaten. Because the Pesach can only be eaten for the day and the night, not literally the day, because you can't eat it at Pesach. But in other words, it becomes noiser at the end of the night after you finish bringing it. Or according to the Blazim and Azayu, we're going to learn at the end of the Masechta at Chatzos, Midrabanan Chatzos, whatever. Anyway, the point is that the Pesach, once a certain point comes in the night, the middle or the end of it, as the case may be, then it becomes noiser. Ve'ilu shlomim l'shneyam v'laylachad. A shlomim, you can burn. Yeah, a shlomim, you can eat for another day. So then, what happens after? So what happens after the night is finished? Then you're gonna go. You're gonna go and be ready to burn it. Okay, you can't actually burn it because it's yom tov and you can't burn kodshim. But nevertheless, it's still not noiser. So what happens now? It's a little odd that Rashi uses the expression like this, that what are we going to do as far as burning it? I mean, usually the expression we have for this in the Gemara is ein mevi'in kodshim lebeis apsul, that you can't reduce. It's not even a question of when you're going to burn it. It's more of that you're going to end up burning kodshim than a kosher. And here anyway, it's the morning of Yom Tov and you can't burn it anyhow. It's more a matter of you're not allowed to reduce the amount of time that a korban can be eaten because you have more chance of it becoming noiser. So you're increasing the chance that it's going to become noiser. So you can't do that over here because then it's going to come out that, in other words, again, four out of these five groups, what they're bringing is really a shlomim, but they're going to have to stop eating it at chatzos or alois hashachar in case it was the Pesach. And then that means you're causing it to become noiser unnecessarily. Now, Tosfos further down on the Amud, by the way, points out, I mean, you could ask as far as this and as far as some of the other things that we're going to ask. I mean, what? So because of these problems, therefore, we're going to not allow them to bring a Korban Pesach at all. And after all, there's a Sufik Koris. I mean, you know, a person doesn't bring a Korban Pesach, then he's Chayav Koris. So, okay, here they're not doing it B'mezid. But still, why should we do that? Why should we prevent them from bringing the Korban Pesach because of concerns like these? So Tosfos says, okay, fine, but it's still only a Shev Val Taseh. And the fact of the matter is, most of the groups did bring a valid Korban Pesach, which that last point of Tosfos might mean, given that they're saying that most of them did. It might be, let's say the scenario was the other way around. Let's say the skins got mixed up, and then we found four out of the five skins had warts on them. So now it means that four out of the five of them brought a carbon that's fossil. Maybe Tosfos would say then we would ignore some of these considerations and have them all bring this carbon that might be Pesach Sheni or might be Shlomim and not worry about these issues of ending the time of the Shlomim early or whatever, because at least most of them didn't bring a valid carbon. I don't know, but at least over here, in our case over here, four out of the five groups did bring a valid Pesach Rishon. It's only one of them that didn't. Then because it's Shev Val Tasa, we're going to be concerned about these various considerations and not allow them to bring Pesach Sheni. The skins go to the skins of the carbonus Pesach go to the owners. Yeah. To the owners, yeah. No, so that's the thing. What you do is, so you're saying each animal that you're shechting, each group is saying like this: if our group is the one that did not that brought a valid carbon Pesach, if it's one of the four groups, then this will be a shlamim on behalf of myself and whoever else I want to, and on behalf of myself. If not, then this will be a carbon Pesach for my group. So each one you're shechting, if it's a carbon Pesach, you are shechting it for their group. So all of them are going to be eating it that night. All of them are going to be eating it Pesach Sheni night, on the night going into Tesavov Eir. But four out of the five of them are going to be eating it as Shlomim, and one is going to be eating it as a Korban Pesach. We won't know which is which. Fine, they'll make it tonight. But that's that. But if it weren't for the fact that a Shlomim is eaten for only one, is eaten for 2 days, is eaten for longer than a Pesach, then it would have been fine.
Can you make the same tonight?
One second, I have a motion. It's not a matter of them. Obviously, they could eat more. They have to try to avoid becoming noiser. But the point is, you still have the problem. The halacha, you're not allowed to reduce the amount of time in which a korban can be eaten. It's called ein mevi'in kodshim levesa psul. Although here, again, Rashi phrases it a little differently. The problem is, you're going to eat them all within that night, and then you're going to burn the noiser if it's a shlomim, if not yet noiser. And then you're burning kodshim that are kosher. Rav Moshe, what'd you ask?
A chatas you cannot bring with a safek. You cannot make a tnai with a chatas, can you?
With a chatas you can't bring a tnai, that's true.
Right, so right. Why would you be able to do it with a korban Pesach, which is also obviously the Araisa, and why should you be able to make a tnai?
Well, you should be able to make a tnai because the Torah itself gave you Pesach Sheni. So if you only had Pesach Rishon, you're right, then there wouldn't be a way out. But since you have Pesach Sheni and you're able, and if you didn't bring Pesach Rishon, then you're bringing Pesach Sheni. So now when you're not sure if you brought Pesach Rishon, on the face of it, you should be able to make a tnai. And you would if it weren't for these considerations that the Gemara is going through.
But if it happens on Pesach Sheni?
If it happens on Pesach Sheni, then I guess they're stuck. Then there's nothing else they can do.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
No, the korban Pesach Sheni, the time for eating it is the same thing, but only until Chatzos or Alos HaShachar, as the case may be. Okay, so the Gemara asks, fine. Okay, so don't bring a regular shlomim. V'nesi moiser ha-Pesach. So fine, what we should have them do is bring a moiser ha-Pesach, meaning, in other words, you say like this, Rashi explains. To begin with, you make the Tanai as follows. If ours was the good korban, then this one I'm designating as moiser ha-pesach, meaning an animal that was left over and not brought as a pesach in its time, which is brought as a shlomim. Now Rashi brings from a tesefta that says that such a shlomim is different than a regular shlomim. It's like a korban pesach. It's only nechol l'yom v'layla, because since it came from the koyach of a korban pesach, then therefore it's considered like a korban pesach. It's called moiser ha-pesach. So Rashi says that you makdish it to begin with as Moser Pesach. Tosfos doesn't like that because the Gemara is going to ask, you can't be makdish it to begin with as Moser Pesach. So rather Tosfos says, no, you makdish it as Pesach. And if not, and if yours was the Baal Mum, then it's the Pesach. And if not, then kind of automatically it becomes Moser Pesach. But the answer is that no, it doesn't, because it only becomes Moser Pesach to begin with, only if you designated it as a really valid Korban Pesach, and then it was left over. Here it wasn't, because four out of the five groups, there's nothing for them to designate as a Pesach. So when they say that this is a Pesach, nothing really happened. It doesn't become Moser Pesach. Rabbeinu Hananel has yet another explanation of it. He says what you do is you set aside some money. You designate that money as Moser Pesach, and then you buy an animal with it. It kind of amounts to the same thing as Rashi. The point is you're designating it as Moiser Pesach. So So you bring that, the namer, and you say as follows, EDD Balmum, if my Korban Pesach originally was the one of the five that was the Balmum, hi de icy hash to nehavi Pesach, then the one I'm bringing now, I want to be my Pesach, EDD Tamhu, and if the one that I brought before was a Tam, nehavi hi de icy hash to Shlomim, then the one that I'm bringing now will be a Shlomim, and this is a special kind of Shlomim, the Moser Pesach Nechol Yoyim V'layla Echad, the leftover, an animal that was a Moser Pesach that becomes then a Shlomim, is eaten for only one day and a night, same as the Pesach. So then you don't have the problem that you're shortening the time for eating it. The problem with that is, how do you designate an animal to begin with as Moser? If you were Yotze, then there's nothing designated as a Pesach. Then it means, in other words, that your designation didn't take any effect. So, no, Moser doesn't mean extra people. Moser means that I designated an animal for the Korban Pesach, and it turns out that it's extra, that I didn't end up using it. I didn't end up using it, so it became Moser. So that's what we're saying. Then it becomes a Shlomim. We said before, we learned before earlier in the Masechta, that Pesach becomes a Shlomim, but during the year, right. So but we're saying over here, it has to be that it has to be to begin with when he designated it, he was chayev in a Pesach, but here he's not. But here four out of the five groups are not. So according to Rashi, they can't be makdish it to begin with as Moser Pesach. According to Tosfos, they can't be makdish it as Pesach, and then it turns into Moser Pesach because they themselves were already Yotze Pesach. One wasn't, but we don't know which one. That's the problem. So now we have four animals that the designation in them as a Pesach or as Moser Pesach isn't valid. So what are they? Then you're back to the problem of you bringing the cholin into the Azara. Right, that's what we're saying. So four out of them brought a Korban Pesach. But you have five animals over here. Again, we said you can't have all five of them jointly bring one Korban, because then you have the problem that the Korban is being eaten Shaloi Lemenuyev. So here you have the same problem. If you have all five of them jointly bring a Korban and they're just going to say it's a Pesach, then four out of the five of them are joining in with it, but they can't eat it because they're Shaloi Lemenuyev. And it can't be shechted for them. So v'chi mafrushin tchilul moisra. So you can't designate an animal to begin with as Moser Pesach, or according to Tosfos, you can't be makdish it to begin with as Pesach when you yourself are not chayev in Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, v'nitrachu. So why don't we still say they should go out and go to the trouble the night and find somebody who has a Moser Pesach left, either who has an animal that he was supposed to bring as a Korban Pesach and didn't bring it for whatever reason, let's say it got lost, or he got sick or whatever, or he has leftover money. For example, you could have somebody who designated $100 to buy his Korban Pesach, and it turned out that it cost only $90, so now he has money left. So they should go look for such people, the nicey Moser Pesach, and then they can bring a Moser Pesach. They'll now use these animals, or they'll use this money to buy animals, and again, they'll make the Tanai like before. If I didn't bring a Pesach before because mine was the Baal Mum, then this one's going to be my Pesach. If not, then it remains Moser Pesach. And it's eaten by day and by night like a Moser Pesach, and therefore we're good. Now we're good. Now we seem to have covered all our bases. Nobody's being registered for a Korban Pesach that doesn't belong to it, because four out of the five of them are actually bringing a Shlomim. It wasn't designated to begin with as Moser Pesach. It was designated as the regular Pesach, and then the guy couldn't bring it on Pesach for whatever reason. Or actually, Tosfos says we could have a case over here where he was Mafish Lachrayus, where he designated two animals where one was the backup. I have the main one for my Korban Pesach, and in case that one gets lost or becomes a Baal Mum or whatever, then I have this one as a backup. So that's an example. So now it's left over after Pesach, and it's Moser Pesach. So right. So they'll get five animals like that, and then four of them will be eating it as Moser Pesach, as a Shlomim. The fifth one will be eating it as a Pesach. All of them are eating the Yom V'Layla, so we seem to have covered everything.
Five korbanos, right?
The whole suffix originally was only on five korbanos, right? Because we got the skins of five korbanos mixed up, and one of them turned out to have a wart, right? I guess usually the kohenim would try to keep track. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says you're right. Fine. If it was just so fine. So that's not the issue then. So far we've said it's not the issue of chazav v'shoik, and now we're saying it's not the issue of shortening the time for the shlamim. But there's a different reason. Ela mishum smicha. Rather, the reason is because of the problem of smicha. You have to do smicha on a korban, on most korbanos. Dila pesach loy boi smicha, v'ilu moisa boi smicha. Now, one difference between a pesach and a shlamim is the korban pesach you don't do smicha on, and a shlamim you do. Now, the vice versa, if you do smicha on this korban, in case it might be a shlamim, the problem is that's called avoda b'kodshim. You're doing work with kodshim that's unnecessary. Now, the Gemara mentions in Chagiga that there's a machloikas, whether Tosfos points out, there's machloikas whether smicha just involves resting your hands on the animal or whether it involves pressing on the animal b'chol koichai with his full strength. If you say it just means putting his hands on, that's not malacha. So then you're right, there wouldn't be a problem. But if we hold, and this is the halacha, that it has to be b'chol koichai, then on the one that ends up being a korban pesach, they're doing avodah b'kodesh, which they're not allowed to. It's not ma'akev, but nevertheless, you still have to do it. But wait. So the question is, hotenach korban anoshim. Okay, that works as far as a korban of men then. So that explains why we can't do that. Again, this is what Tosfos is saying. So what are you saying? Because the guy can't do smicha, therefore we're going to prevent him from bringing Pesach Sheni altogether? And the answer is yes, given that it's only Shev Val Tase. And number two, that again, most of the people involved over here did bring a Pesach, then yes, we have the right to say that smicha is going to be ma'akev then. So the problem is, what about korban noshim ma'ikol meimer? What about if all these korbanos belong to women? Women don't have to do smicha on korbanos. It's actually machlokes in kedushin. No, nobody does. No. Korbanos of women, bnei Yisrael, bnei Yisrael. So there's an opinion. The Gemara mentions in kedushin an opinion that if they want, they noshim simchas rishus. But the halacha is that not. The halacha is that they don't do smicha. So in any case, they're not required to. So then in that case, why would that prevent us from doing this thing? They should go find somebody who has a Moshe Pesach, etc. Okay, you're right. Ela mishum matonis. No, rather we can say the problem is the sprinkling of the blood on the Mizbeach. Dila Pesach matona achas v'ilu shlomim shtayim shen dalet. The Korban Pesach, you only do one application of blood to the Mizbeach. The shlomim, you do two, which are four. Two on the opposite corners. And you can't do extra because then you're over on Baal Tosif. So the question is, so what? By nafkamina. So what's the problem? Just do one and you'll be yotze. V'atnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Zvachim, kol nitonin amizbeach hachitzin, all blood that's put on the mizbeach hachitzin, shenosnin rematan achas, if you put only one application of blood, kipper, then you're mechaper. So fine, l'chatchila, we're not going to tell, so l'chatchila, we should be putting shtei matonah shtei nava. But fine, just put one and b'dievet, you're yotze. The answer is no. Fine, if it was just a matter of the number of applications of blood, you're right, it would work. But the problem is that the Pesach, you have to pour the blood onto the Yisoid, not the leftovers, the blood of the Korban Pesach as a whole, you have to pour on the Yisoid. There's actually a machloikas about this. We've touched on this before in the Gemara. It talks about it at the end of Ezo Mekoyman and Zvachim, that there's a machloikas whether the Pesach is b'shficha or b'zricha. But the halacha is that it's b'shficha, whereas the shlamim has to be b'zrika, that you throw the blood against the wall. So the Gemara says my nafkamina. So what's the difference? V'atanya kol nitonin b'zrika shenosin b'shficha yotza. We learn in a brisa that if you did shficha instead they were supposed to be done b'zrika, but instead you did it shficha, then you yotza. The Gemara says, okay, aimer to come in and di ovad. Fine, but d'yevet, if he does that, it's kosher. L'chatchila nami. Are you going to say that he should do that l'chatchila? So therefore, so because of all of that, it doesn't work. And therefore, we're just going to say that all of them are potter from making Pesach Sheni. So that's it. Because even though, yes, there wouldn't be a problem of Chaz v'Shoik, and there wouldn't be a problem of Moisa Pesach, and there wouldn't be a problem of Smicha, let's say we're talking about women, et cetera, but we still come down to that there's going to be this problem of how the blood is applied to the Mizbeach. Yeah, so that's what Tosfos was saying. Because it's Shev Val Tase, and most of them did it right, then therefore we're not. Mistama, what would be, by the way, is if the Dievet, if they ended up getting a Koyan to agree to do it for them, and they end up doing it, then I guess they could, and then they're Yotze, because, they were saying that the Dievet it works. But L'chatchila, we shouldn't be doing it. So therefore, we just say they're potter from making Pesach Sheni. And so we're saying it won't, because ultimately a Shlomim's blood has to be thrown against the Mizbeach, and the Pesach has to be spilled. Has to be poured. Yeah. Well, if you did l'shem shlomim, then for sure. But no, you'd make a t'nai, but yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, Omer Levano, if a person says to his sons, Hareini, the Gemara in Nedarim explains that we're talking about over here young children, so it's a matter of chinuch that he's doing over here. Anyway, Hareini Sheichet is a Pesach al Mishi Yalom Mikem Rishon LeYerushalayim. I'm shechting the Korban Pesach on behalf of whichever one of you gets to Yerushalayim first. Now it sounds like he's only going to be that one is going to be Mamuna on the Korban Pesach and everybody else not. We're going to discuss that in the Gemara. So kiven shehichnes arishin roshav erubai, as soon as the first one gets his head and most of his body into the gates of Yerushalayim, zocha b'chalkai, right away he's zocha in his portion of the Korban Pesach, or mezakeh echavimai, and he's mezakeh his brothers with him, which, what does that mean? Does that mean that he has a portion and now they're able to get from out of his portion? Or what does that mean exactly? We're going to see in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain that the father is just telling it in order to be mezares them. It's not really, he's actually including them all in his Korban Pesach, but he wants to hurry them up and get them. He wants to give them an incentive to come faster, so he talks this way. Yeah. Well, he has other people as well, but yeah. So the question is, so the Gemara says, Shmamina Yesh Bereira. So does, on the face of it, it's saying that he's only Mamana the one, whichever one gets in first. But meanwhile, he's already shechted the Korban Pesach. Does that mean we're back to the question of Bereira, that we're saying that retroactively, it turns out he's the one that the father had in mind at the time of Shechita? So Rabbi Yechanan says, no, what we're doing over here, he's only saying this in order to be mizaras them, only in order to give them an incentive to hurry up and come to Yerushalayim. But not that he is actually having them all in mind to begin with. The Gemara discusses there in Nedarim in terms of the din of Chinuch, because after all, Tosfos had said before that if the children were actually not Mamuna, it still would mean that fine, you're able to be mechanech them and give them from the Korban Pesach, even if they're not Mamuna, because they're children and you're being mechanech them in a mitzvah. But nevertheless, the point is that he is saying it to all of them. Dekanami, in fact, the Gemara says, you can see that from the words of the Mishnah. Dekatani umazaka echavima, because the Mishnah continues that he's mezaka his brothers with him. Iyamet b'shlema da'am ninu me'ikra, if you mean that the father was mamana them in the first place, shaper, then good. Then we're saying it's not that now they're eating from his portion. It just means like the father said, now for this year, because he got in first, therefore he's going to be like the head of the family. Maybe it means he's the one who's going to get to choose who gets what portion, or who sits at where at the table, or who knows, whatever kind of incentive he makes. But if you say that it meant that the father wasn't mamana them in the first place, then it wouldn't work anyway. After all, after the korban is shechted, they can't register for it anyway. Well, it's not. The next Mishnah tells us, you can only register and you can only withdraw from registration until the korban is shechted. So obviously, in order for them to be eating from the Korban Pesach, it has to be that they were all registered before the Shechita. So what do you mean that he's saying, I'm shechting it for whichever one of you gets to Yerushalayim first and only the other ones afterwards? So it doesn't mean that he's actually shechting it only on behalf of him. He is having them all in mind. He's just trying to give them an incentive to hurry up and telling them, like, you're going to be now the head of the family for this Pesach. And the Gemara says, Shmamina, so that proves it. Tanya Nami Hochi, in fact, we learn like that in a Braisa. It happened once that a father said like this, and his daughters ended up getting to Yerushalayim ahead of the sons. So it comes out the daughters we see were the zrizas, were the ones who were quick to do the mitzvah, and the sons were the lazy ones. But we see we're not saying that the daughters got from the Korban Pesach and the sons didn't. So we see that everybody after all got from the Korban Pesach. The sons over there just have the embarrassment by the table of realizing that they were lazy and didn't get there in time. Okay. The Mishnah says, "Lo'olam nimnin olav adshia bekazayis l'cholach bechad." You can always register for the Korban Pesach, and you can keep on adding people to the registration until you get to the point where, as long as there's a kazayis for each person. So you figure how many kazayisim are there in this animal, and then based on that is the number of people that can register for it. But no more than that. If people beyond that register, then they're not yotze the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and they're going to have to bring their own. You can register and you can withdraw from registration until the korban is shechted. Reb Shimon says until the blood is sprinkled, and we'll see in the Gemara that Reb Shimon is not disagreeing completely. He's saying you can withdraw until until the blood is sprinkled. But he agrees the register has to be before it's shechted. With to change your mind and leave this group, you can do until the blood is sprinkled. But to register, to join the group in the first place, that Reb Shimon is going to agree, as we're going to say in the Gemara, that you have to do that before it's shechted. You can't be in two groups, right? Right, no, you can't be in two groups. It's one or the other by the time of the Shechita. So the Gemara says, "My Kamash Malan, what is the Chiddush in the first part of the Mishnah that you can register until you get to the point where there's no, where until as long as there's a Chazayis for each one?" So that's what it means. Ha-Kamash Malan, the Mishnah wants to tell us, Afagav de Imni Olav Chavurazu. Even now, what happens is, let's say you had one group joined. Let's say you had all the members of Chevra Shas joined on a Korban Pesach, and then now let's say they all decide to change their mind. They all decide, you know what, we're going to bring a different animal for a Korban instead. The animal doesn't become posel, but rather Chozeres v'nimne olav chavura acheres, a different group from Shane's shul can go and register for it instead. Now the point is, we're going to have an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the next perek who says you always have to have one member of the original group registered for the animal, otherwise it becomes posel. So the Mishnah here wants to tell us not like that. Even though the entire first group abandoned it, and now this animal is left without anybody registered for it, nevertheless a second group is able to take it over instead. It doesn't matter whether there's one person left from the original group or not. That's what the Mishnah wants to tell us. That nimnin la'olam nimnin olav. You can always register for it. Meaning, in other words, even though you already had a previous group that was registered and then left, then you can still have another group take over. Yeah. By the way, you also have, we learned previously on Daf Ayin Ches, we had the opinion of Reb Nosson that Achilas Psochim Loi Ma'akiv, that the eating of the Korban Pesach is not Ma'akiv, and therefore, according to him, it doesn't matter. You could conceivably have the entire Jewish people joined together on one Korban Pesach, even though obviously there's not a Kazayas for each one. But the mission, that's not like Reb Nosson. Okay. In fact, when it says over here, my Kamash Malan, there is in fact a Girsa that Dikduke Soifim brings for that reason. The question is not my Kamash Malan, there is a Chiddush, we need to know not like Reb Nosson. The question is my La'olam. The question is, what does the Mishnah mean by always? And the answer is that even if one group withdrew, then the other group can take over. We said Nimninu Moshkan is today in Achi Shafet Chula. We said that you can register and you can withdraw from registration until the korban is shechted, and Reb Shimon had said until the blood is sprinkled. Amar Abaye Machloikas Li Moshe. The Machloikas Reb Shimon and the Chachamim is only as far as withdrawing. Did Rabbanan Sabri Mi Yos Mi Se Mi Chayusi Deser. Now, like this, the pasuk tells us that V'im Yimat Habayis Mi Yos Mi Se. Now, the simple meaning of the pasuk means if the members of the household are too few to be able to eat one whole sheep, then they bring other people into their group as well. But the Gemara is darshaning, v'im yimat habayis, if the house wants to reduce itself, meaning they want to reduce the number of people who are joining on this Korban Pesach, it has to be miyos miseh. Now, what is miyos miseh? It means as long as it is a set. As long as it is a sheep. So the Chum say that means mechayus edeseh, only as long as it's alive. Because after that, after it's dead, it's not considered a seh anymore. After it's shechted, it's not a seh anymore. But Reb Shimon Sover may have a yoseh to seh. Reb Shimon says the word mi yos mi seh means as long as there's still something to be done with the seh, meaning the zrika. So that's why he says that until the zrika, you could withdraw. So there the pasuk is talking about withdrawing. Yim atabayis, you're reducing the number of people in the group. Aval limonos, but as far as registering, during hakel, achi yishachet, everybody agrees you can only do that till the korban is shechted. D'omar krob michsas nefashis, because the pasuk says, by the count of people, michsas means a count, v'hodor tachoisu, and then the pasuk says, tachoisu alaseh, where the word tachoisu, we learned previously, and daf samach aleph, means shechting. In Aramaic, the word kois means to shecht. So therefore, tachoisu alaseh means to shecht the animal, and therefore it means that by that point, you have to have b'michses nefashis. We learn a braisa like that as well. You're allowed to register and you're allowed to withdraw from registration until the korban is shechted. Reb Shimon says, I agree that as far as registration, only till it's shechted. But as far as withdrawing, you have until the blood is sprinkled. Okay. Mishnah says, If a person, one member of the group, registers other people together with him on his portion without everybody else's knowledge. So let's say, for example, you have 10 people joined together to eat the Korban Pesach. So that means each of them owns 1/10 of the Korban. Now, one of them decided 1/10 is too much for me to eat, or I have friends or whatever. So he goes and before the shechita, he goes and registers some other people together with him. He goes and finds a few friends of his, and they say, we're going to share among ourselves the 1/10 of the korban that belongs to me. So now the rest of the group, as the Gemara is going to say, don't want these people with them. They don't like them or whatever. They don't get along with them. They're these people are slow eaters, and they're going to make the Seder take longer, whatever it is. Now, we learned at the end of the previous parak, we had a machloikas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether Pesach nechal b'shtei chavuras or not. Our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, just like that one did, that the Pesach could be eaten in two groups. Therefore, the members of the group are allowed to give him his portion, his 1/10 of the carbon, and then he'll eat it together with his five friends at another table or in another room or whatever, because Pesach Nechal B'Shtei Chavuras, and the rest of them will eat in their original place. So in other words, they're allowed to tell him, you want those people with you, because don't hate, take your part and eat it someplace else. We don't want them at all. You want to make your own Seder, go ahead, but don't eat with us. The Meiri points out, if we, according to the Shimon, who said over there that Pesach is not Nechal B'Shtei Chavuras, but he says it could be eaten M'Shtei Mekomos, so according to him, what you'd do is you'd say that fine. They would tell him, you sit at the other end of the table together with your friends. We're still going to have, we can't be in separate places, fine, but at least we can be at separate parts of the table or whatever. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Iboilahu. So now we have a question like this, which is going to relate back to the case of our mission. If one of the members of the group, his hands were fine, which is a nice way of saying that he's a glutton, he's greedy, he takes more than his portion. So, can they tell him, take your portion and leave and go eat it someplace else? On the one hand, maybe we can say he could tell them, no, why should I have to leave your group? You accepted me into your group. The fact that I have yod of yofos, the fact that I'm greedy, not my problem. You already accepted that I paid my portion, and therefore I'm allowed to eat as much as I want. Or maybe they can tell him, ki kablinon, you know why we accepted you into our group, because after all, we wanted to make sure that the korban doesn't become nicer. We figured you're going to eat an amount like normal people eat. We never accepted you having in mind that you're going to eat more than us, much more than the average. Yeah. So, Tashma, let's bring a proof from our Mishnah. We said that when a person invites other people to join with him for his part of the Korban Pesach, we said they can give him his portion of the Korban Pesach, and each group will eat separately. Now, my timer, now why are we allowing them to kick him out of the group and have him eat separately? But Pashtus, the reason is because it's similar to the case of Yod of Yafis. It's similar to there's more people over there. They didn't agree to that. And therefore they're allowed to kick him out. Now, if you're going to tell me that, so in other words, the point is they're telling him like this: we want to make sure that you don't get more than your 1/10 of the korban. So we're going to kick you out of our group. You can take your 1/10 and share it among your guests as you see fit. But in other words, they're saying we don't want you and your group at our table because between all of you, you're likely to eat much more than your portion of the korban. Between you and your friends over there, you're going to end up eating much more than 1/10, and there's going to be less for us. So take the 10th and the 10th and divide it how you want, right? Now, if you're going to say that when he's greedy, he's able to tell them, I'm sorry, you accepted me, a member of the group. Tough luck, you have to keep me. Then they have a high yod of yafas. Then it should be the same kind of thing over here where he invited extra people, where the same thing should be. You accepted me into your group. Therefore, I have the right to be in your group, whether you like it or not. And therefore, I'm staying. And if that means that my friends are staying, then that's how it's going to be. Why not? So that should answer the question. The answer is Amri. So the answer is Loy. It's not really the same. It's not really a comparison, a comparable case. Deus shiny. It's different when you have other people over there. They don't necessarily want these extra people over there because, again, they may eat more slowly. they may be the type of people who are more likely to get into an argument and disturb the atmosphere at the Seder or whatever. So it has nothing to do with the fact that they're going to eat extra. Even if all of them together are only going to eat the one-tenth, as much as this one person would eat, they still have the right to tell him, you go and eat your part of the Korban Pesach separately. Because there are other people involved, it's not just a question of how much of the Korban Pesach is going to be eaten. It's a matter of, are these people going to get along with our group? Are they going to eat at the same pace as the rest of us, et cetera, et cetera. Because even if both of them, or however many of them there are going to eat at an amount equivalent to one of the original group, they can still tell them, we don't want a stranger with us, so we don't know, and he may disturb our Seder. Now, kind of the opposite of called the Chvin Yesev Yechol, that they should be talking like that is maybe not such a great thing, but they have the right to Api Alocha. Whether they should is another question. But yeah. Okay. Actually, Tosfos points out that you could have argued the other way around. You could have said that only by Memana Acherim Imoy can they tell him to go away. Maybe by Yod of Yafos you can't at all. So the Gemara is telling you can't really prove one way or the other. On the other hand, you can say that by when he adds other people, then they can kick him out because day is shiny. On the other hand, you can say not necessarily. Maybe it is after all like Yod of Yafos, and therefore Yod of Yafos as well, they could kick him out. Okay. Toshma, let's bring a proof from a braisa that we learned at the end of the previous perek. Hashama shocho kazayis basa b'tzadatanu. If the waiter who was roasting the Korban Pesach and is also part of the group, if he ate a kazayis of meat next to the oven, so as we said, he was roasting the Korban Pesach and then mistakenly instead of waiting for the Seder, he took a kazayis and put it in his mouth and ate it, forgetting that he's supposed to wait till the Seder. It's after Shkir, it's Tzeis HaKochavim or whatever, so he's allowed to eat it at that point, but he should have waited until the Seder. You should have waited until they actually sit down where they're supposed to. So now, we said before, according to the Yehuda, you can't eat the Korban Pesach in two places, so having eaten a kazayis of it next to the oven, he has to remain there next to the oven. So if he's smart, then he continues filling himself up on that. In other words, he sits over there and eats as much as he wants before the Seder. That way, by the time of the Seder comes and they tell him and he can't join them at the table, then he'll at least have eaten as much as he planned to of the Korban Pesach. But the key thing is, if the other members of the group want to do him a favor, then they come and move from their original planned place and they sit next to him by the oven, but Oichlin, and they eat Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, because again, Rabbi Yehuda had said that one person can't eat the Korban Pesach in two different places. Now, the implication is Rotsu Ein Loi Rotsu Loi. So why does this work? Only because they agreed, because they wanted to do him a favor, implying if they don't want to do him a favor, then not. They can say, sorry, you eat by the oven, and the rest of us will go sit where we plan to and eat. Now, Vamai. Now, again, if you say that Yod of Yafis, you can't kick him out. Neimalahu Hokabilton. He should be able to tell them, you accepted me into your group. Therefore, you're required to keep me as a member of your group. And if that means that all of you have to come over here, that's how it is. The answer is shiny hossam. No, because it's different in that case. The Amrile, because they can answer him. Ki kablinach adaita de nitrachach kamon. Yeah, we accepted you into our group, having in mind that you're going to come join us. You're going to come to where we are, and we're going to all eat together. The mitrach lon l'didach. But if we knew to begin with that we're going to have to come over and sit where you are, loy kablinach, we didn't necessarily accept you into our group, having that in mind. They knew that he's a shamash. They didn't know he's going to eat a kazayis of it by the oven. So there's no proof one way or the other in the case of Yod of Yafis. Okay. No, well, when we say to feed up, remember that you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach ala sova anyway, right? When we say that he fills up al kreso, it means, in other words, he eats his portion of the Korban Pesach. He's not eating more than he's supposed to necessarily, but the fact is that the fact is that he's eating in a place where they didn't plan. Well, that's what we're saying. If he's pikeach, then he's going to eat more of it now before everybody else comes there, and that way he'll have eaten his portion. Yeah. But it depends. If you have 10, you can't have noisa, right? So if you have only 10 people registered, it means each person is eating 1/10 of the animal. It's a nice chunk of meat. It's not just a kazayas. Yeah. Okay. Next, Toshma bnei chavura shaya yodav shel echad man yafes. We have a brisa that clearly talks about this case. You have members of a group where one of them yodav yafes, he's greedy. They're able to tell him, take your portion of the Korban Pesach and go out and eat it by yourself. So it's not even a matter of he has guests with him like we had in the Mishnah. He himself can make his own separate Seder. V'loy oid, and not only that, continues the Braisa, ela afilu chamisha v'osu siboilus, even if you have five people that got together anytime during the rest of the year to make a siboilus, which is a meal where each person contributes something towards the meal. They each contribute equal amounts towards the meal. It's kind of like, I mean, the equivalent of it nowadays in a restaurant would be, let's say, if you go to a restaurant and then you divide up the bill equally among everybody. So here it could be like that, or it could be each person is bringing some food or sharing in the expenses of the food or whatever. Yeah. So if they do that, and it turns out that one of them is greedier than the others, again, they can tell them, take your portion and leave. Fine, there are five of us. Each of us is entitled to 20% of the food, but you're going to end up eating 40% of the food. So fine, take your 20% and sit someplace else. And that way you won't end up taking from our portions. So Shmami, no, that proves it. That proves it that yes, in the case of the Korban Pesach, they can tell the Yod of Yafos guy go away because we see the Braisa is telling us that they can't. No, so that means, you know, by the Shamash. So it means by the Shamash, the Shamash is a special case because again, we're saying they can tell him we never agreed to have you in our group if we knew we were gonna have to be sitting next to the oven rather than in our dining room. But over here we're saying that so there we're saying they don't have to include him. There we're saying they can tell him, sorry, you stay by the oven and the rest of us will be in the dining room. We're saying over here, even if it's not that, even if it's just because Yod of Yafos, they're able to do the same thing. Okay. The Gemara says, my veloy oid. What is the Gemara adding? What is the Braisa adding with this word veloy oid? That not only does this apply to a Korban Pesach, but it applies to a Siboilus. So it means loy mi boya karma. We're saying, needless to say, loy mi boya Pesach, the motzi amule ki kabilnach, l'takun izvicha. By the Korban Pesach, as we said before, he could tell them that, or they could tell him that, you know, the only reason we accepted you into the group is to make sure there's no noiser. L'takuni means to fix up. To fix up that it shouldn't become noiser. Zvicha, the korban. Ela afilu siboilus nami. The Braisa goes on to say, even a siboilus, there's no issue of noiser. The tzabsa ba'almahu, it's only a case of people joining together in a group. Nevertheless, Rashoin Lomela Tocha Chabatse, even then they're able to say that you're greedy, therefore take your portion and go away, and we don't want you to sit together with the group. Even though there's no issue of noiser, even though he could argue to begin with, look, the only reason unlike with the Korban Pesach, you needed me for the group to prevent there being noiser. Here you didn't need me, Bechlal. So therefore, if you accepted me, it means you accepted me whether you like it or not. No, we can tell him no, because it turns out that Yod of Yafos, therefore we don't have to accept you. Yeah. Okay. Maybe since they made a deal, they made tkiyas kaf or whatever. Maybe they have to be held to it. But no, we're saying it. On the other hand, the Gemara says ikadamri. Now there's another version, holo yiboyalon. The second version is that we didn't have any question about that case. Yod of Yafos, for sure we know we can kick him out. Ela hochihu di boyalon. Rather, we can say the question to begin with was bnei chavura rashoin lecholik ayenin rashoin lecholik. Bechla, without a reason of Yod of Yafos, can the chavura just split up into two or not, or do they have to eat together? And rather, rashoin lecholik means, in other words, do we do that to begin with? Let's say again, we have 10 people. So to begin with, when we bring the Korban Pesach to the table, we carve it up into 10 pieces. Each person has his piece in front of him to begin with, and that's that. Or do we put it on the table and everybody just takes from a common place on the table, and we're not worried about that one might take a little more than he's supposed to? No, but the expectation is that each one is going to eat only as much as he's supposed to. But do we lachatchila divide it up like we do by other sudas, or do we say ein rashoin lecholik? They all have to eat together. They all have to have the Korban Pesach is in one place on the table, and they all have to be together. Or actually, well, yeah, well, they can eat different parts, sure, but yeah. Okay, we're in a hurry over here, so let's say, yeah. Okay, yeah, but that's the point. In other words, rashoin lecholik, are they allowed to divide up? that, let's say, for example, each person can take his portion of the Korban Pesach. Actually, the point seems to be, can they eat separately? Can they decide, you know what, now that I have my one-tenth of the Pesach, then I'm going to sit by this table, you're going to sit by that table, each of us will sit by our own table and make our own Seder. Can they do that, or do they have to dafka all 10 be together at one table making the Seder together? So Toshma, so now we prove from the last Braisa that we quoted, Bnei Chavura show you Yod of Shalachim and Yafis. If one of them was Yod of Yafis, Rashon Lo Tochel Chavatze, then they can tell him, take your portion and go away, implying Yod of Yafis ain Yod of Yafis Loi. Only because one of them is greedy do they have the ability to do that. But if not, they can't stam, break up into groups without a good reason. Shmamina, that proves it, that that's how it is. Okay. So the Gemara tells a story in this connection. Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breder Rishua arivu rifta bahadi adoni. One time Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breder Rishua did that. They joined their food together. They were going to have a joint meal together. Like this, a sibolus, like we described before. By the time Rav Huna Breder Rishua had eaten one portion of food, Rav Papa had eaten four portions. Amalei plagli. So Rav Huna Breder Rishua says, let's just divide it up. Let's just divide it up. You take your portion and eat separately, and I'll take my portion and eat separately because you're eating more than you should. Amalei, so Rav Papa says, Amalei kabiltun. So Rav Papa says, sorry, you accepted me into your group, and therefore now if I'm eating more than I should, then you can't do anything about it. Esve kolhani tiyufta. So he started bringing him all these proofs that we've had on the Amud over here, all these cases where we see that you should be able to kick out the one that Yod of Yafis. No, it was somewhere else. They lived a couple hundred years after the Korban. Yeah. The Shani Kedishanin, and each one of Papa answered like we answered in the Gemara over here. That's not a proof. Esve Bnei Chavura. Finally, he said, but what about the Braisa of Bnei Chavura? Where he's Amalei Hossa. So he said, where you see that the Bnei Chavura can kick out the one that's Yod of Yafis. Amalei, so the Papa says, that's not a proof. Hossam de Amrilei Kabil Nachla Tekuni Zvicha. Because again, there he can tell them that you accepted me in order to, they can tell him, we only accepted you because we want to make sure the Korban doesn't become nicer, so not necessarily would that apply to a regular meal. Esve Sibolus, finally, Rav Huna Breder Rishua pointed out to him the second part of the Brice, the Veloy Oid El Afilu Osu Sibolus, and then Plagle. So at that point, Rav Papa had to agree that fine, we'll divide up the food and we'll eat separately. Okay, another time, Ozel ordered Bahadi Ravina. So then Rav Huna Breder Rishua tried the same kind of deal with Ravina. By the time Rav Huna Breder Rishua ate one portion, Ravina ate eight portions. Omar, said Rav Huna Breder Rishua, says to himself, "Maya papi v'lechoda Ravina. Better to eat with 100 papas rather than with one Ravina." Now, it sounds like an exaggeration, but there is actually a mathematical formula behind it. There's a sefer called Merkeves HaMishnah that was written by Rav Shloima of Chelma a couple hundred years ago. In the back of it, he has a kundris called Breichus B'cheshben, where he deals with a couple of dozen mathematical puzzles and things in Torah, in many different places in Torah. So one of them is this Gemara over here. He says, think of it like this. If Rav Huna Breder Rishua is eating with one Ravina, Ravina ate eight times as much as him. If each of them is paying an equal amount towards the meal, nine portions were eaten, each of them is paying for 4.5 portions. But Rav Huna ate only one portion, so he's losing out 3.5 portions. He's losing out a considerable amount. Mashenkin, if he eats with 100 Rapapas, yes, Rapapa eats four times as much as him. But let's calculate. That means there were 401 portions of food that are eaten, 400 for the 100 Rapapas, one for Rav Huna Breder Rishua. How much is each of them paying? One part of 101 of the total, because there were 101 people over there. 401 divided by 101 is less than 4. So it comes out that he's gaining. It comes out he's not spending as much. He's only paying for a little less than 4 portions of food, whereas with Ravina, he's paying for 4.5 portions of food. And either way, he's only eating one portion, so therefore he gains. So therefore he ends up coming ahead when he's eating even with 100 of papas, rather than he would with one Ravina. So it's not just an exaggeration. It actually works out mathematically. This sort of Shlomo of Chelmer is an interesting character, by the way. He was, as I say, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and a very smart guy. Everybody always talks about the wise men of Chelm. I have a theory that actually what it was is he was so smart that compared to him, everybody else in town seemed like fools, and therefore that's where the stereotype of Chelm came from. Is that true? I don't know, but that's my pet theory anyway. Okay, fine. To be continued tomorrow, Beth Hashem. Thank you.